It's the end of the school year, but it's not the end of the legacy of Mike Lovell. Right. He has established established an incredible, incredible a pattern of just excellence at Marquette, and that will continue.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. In for Vince Petrano, here's Eric Bilstad.
Happy Monday to you. Vince is taking a couple of days off. Michelle Richards is here. Hi, Michelle.
Good morning.
And the school year is officially over in your house. Is that right?
Yep. They'll be bored in 5 minutes.
Yeah. The challenge now of keeping them off their phones and doing other things begins now for the next 3 months. Debbie Lazka's got the rose. Adam Roberts in our newsroom, and Greg Pancake Hill doing everything today. So thank you to Greg. So, sad news over the weekend. On Sunday, we learned that Marquette University President Michael Lovell had passed away. Just 57 years old. He had been battling cancer, a rare form. He had sarcoma. And I think a lot of people just got used to him still doing his job, still cranking away, still being the inspiration that he was on and off campus, despite his illness. Joining us now in studio is WDTMJ Steve Scafidi, host of the Political Power Hour. Steve, you spent a lot of time with Mike. You know him better than a lot of folks.
Yeah, I got to both hang out with him away from the show, but I also had a couple of years, maybe longer than that, where we interviewed him once a month. He always brought in a great guest, and I got to know him. And it was like a gut punch yesterday. I got a text from somebody of the news, and then I started to dig in a little deeper on it. And this is somebody who's 57 years old, accomplished what most people could never accomplish, led both of our major institutions in Milwaukee, obviously led Marquette for 10 years, really highly intelligent, PhD mechanical engineering, and then was able to do everything else in his life. But the cool thing about Mike Lovell, and the cool thing that I always got to experience when he came into the studios here to record it, he's just like a regular guy. We would talk about running, or he told me when I interviewed him last month about going on this trip that unfortunately where he passed away in probably one of the most iconic places in the world, Rome. And he just was a tremendous human being. Look, everybody's got unique skill sets. He had a lot of them, and he was able to inspire people in his, what is a far too short time on this planet, 57 years old.
You know what Michelle and I noticed as we were doing the stories this morning is how many people, even like young Marquette students or recently graduated Marquette students, felt impacted by him. And that says something, because you know how that goes. Guy in his mid-50s, you know, running an institution, not usually a 20-year-old gonna think of you too much. And he did. Like, he actually was impacting them in ways that they probably had no idea.
It's a rare thing when everybody loves you, right? His students loved him. His faculty loved him. Everyone that met him loved him. His families obviously loved the heck out of him. He is a guy that he was that kind of a person. He was like a magnet. And he was approachable. And he was so down to earth, even with that high level of intelligence and that ability to kind of just lead. He was always someone that had that. And it's such a sad thing when things like this happen, always. But when you have someone who's been doing this at the highest level at Marquette University for so long, and you and I both know this, we have a lot of Marquette grads that work here. Mm-hmm, yeah. We know a lot of Marquette grads. And everybody's got the same feeling I have. We just got gut punched because the guy was so cool.
What's so interesting about it, too, is the idea that, you know, we all felt surprised, even though he had this very rare form of cancer.
Yeah, I think less than 1,000 people had this kind of cancer that he had.
And it really was just because of the way he kind of carried himself. So we had Dr. Howard Fuller on the program earlier today, and he's a retired distinguished professor emeritus at Marquette, and he was friends with Mike Lovell. And here's what he said about just realizing what had happened yesterday.
In shock like everyone else is. I mean, I saw Mike. We both got honorary doctorate degrees from Medical College of Wisconsin a couple of weeks ago. And he was talking to me about the trip, and he was explaining that, you know, it was the Board of Trustees, and they were going to do this Jesuit formation pilgrimage, and that afterwards, him and Amy, they were going to do some hiking. And so when I got the news yesterday, it was just, you know, devastating, because he was really a good person, a good man. He did a lot, not just for Marquette University, but for the city of Milwaukee.
So Lovell was traveling abroad. He was in Italy with his family. They had stopped in Rome. as you heard Fuller say there, as part of a Jesuit pilgrimage when he got sick. And they took him to a hospital in Rome, and he would later pass away. I mean, some of this was like bucket list item type of stuff, like going on this trip.
We would always talk about our trips, because I've been fortunate enough to be able to travel around Europe a lot in the last few years. And he shared with me some information about this trip. But he was a guy who loved travel and loved, we talked about wine and some of the fun things that he got to do. And he is somebody that, you know, it's rarefied air to be this kind of a person, to be able to do what he's done in his life, and all that in a pretty short time, 57 years. I can say that because I'm older than that, and I couldn't achieve what he achieved. He also had like 10 patents, and this guy was a creator as well. His published articles are more than 100 on all kinds of engineering. Mechanical engineering is a tough discipline. That's not lightweight. Yeah. That's not like getting a degree in social media. This is a guy who had a strong educational pedigree, probably why he's so brilliant at both University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee and Marquette.
One more soundbite here from Dr. Fuller discussing how, even despite the illness, still cranked.
Even though we all knew he had this cancer, he was still relentless. You know what I mean? He was on campus. He was all around campus. He was in meetings. He was in meetings in the community. And so, like when I saw him, like I said a couple of weeks ago, I mean, you knew he had this cancer, but you kind of put it out of your head because he was so active and he was, just continuing to do things in his life. And so even though you knew he had this, it was just a shock yesterday when I got the news.
That is retired distinguished professor emeritus at Marquette University, Dr. Howard Fuller.
He talked about his illness. I did an event at Frater with him, and he shared, some of the, excruciating details. But the wild thing about this, he went through COVID with this cancer and everything else. The wild thing was he still did everything, as Howard Fuller said. What an amazing human being, gone too soon.
But didn't he even have COVID, too?
Yes, a couple times.
Had to fight through that, too?
Absolutely. The guy was a warrior, going back to the old name of the Marquette institution that I love.
So here's what's going to happen. They will have they're going to make the funeral arrangements public, and none of that has been released yet. The unfortunate situation, obviously, it's everything about this is unfortunate, but really, too, it's the school year is over. So you really, it would have been very unique and interesting to see how the students would have reacted to this in real time, just because of the impact he had on them. So that just makes this so unfortunate. At the moment that this has happened, right when people are transitioning out of school, right when summer is beginning and everything is just kind of in flux.
It's the end of the school year, but it's not the end of the legacy of Mike Lovell. He has established an incredible, incredible pattern of just excellence at Marquette, and that will continue.
Well said. WDTMJ Steve Scafidi, thank you, sir, for your time. We appreciate it.
Good to be with you guys.
Happy Monday!
It's time to look at the week ahead.
What a Monday morning.
That's right. Time to look at the week that will be. What's going to be in your timeline, on your newsfeed, on the radio, in the paper, on the televisions this week? Well, today, big night tonight, the Wauwatosa School Board going to talk consolidation tonight. The school district is considering eliminating the middle schools. Superintendent Damon Means told parents that they would consider splitting the grades between the elementary and the high schools. So it'd be K through 6 in the grade schools, and then it'd be 7, 8, 9 through 12 at the high schools.
Keeping those younger kids separate, though.
Yeah, they would not be able to intermingle. They'd have, I think what there would eventually be a referendum that would help them set up a different entrance and that type of thing. So they wouldn't necessarily all be roaming the halls together, your seventh graders and your seniors and whatnot. So that'll be discussed tonight. You can imagine there'll be some attention there. Apple kicks off its Worldwide Developers Conference today. Tim Cook, the CEO, will give the keynote. It's expected to detail updates coming to Apple platforms. Artificial intelligence is likely to be high on the company's agenda. AI-powered operating system for its iPhone reportedly is in the works. They've been a little bit behind on this, but they say that they're going to announce likely a partnership with OpenAI, the creator behind the viral ChatGPT tool. So once Apple gets its hands on it, then most of us will use it, right? Like, because if you have Apple, then it's really easy to use.
Yeah, it's going to be user-friendly. Privacy is a concern, though.
Yes, and they'll have to figure that out. Apple, Tim Cook has always been, at least floated the idea of being concerned about privacy, and when AI comes a call, and that changes things. So we'll see what they have to say today. Criminal trial of President Biden's son Hunter is heading into the final stretch. We could learn today whether or not he is going to testify. The jury could get that case very quickly. Former President Donald Trump will be interviewed by New York probation officials today. This is a required step. It's part of the process before his sentencing in July. This is for the criminal hush money case. Now, he will not be in New York. This will be done via Zoom conference from his residence at Mar-a-Lago. On Tuesday, I don't know if you can hear it in Franklin, but you'll hear the cars racing at the Milwaukee Mile. I don't know if you can hear it on your end of the woods.
No, a bit too far for that.
When I used to live in Tulsa, I could always hear them. So, yeah, so they are going to be open testing tomorrow for the IndyCar series that's taking place at the end of August. The Hy-Vee Milwaukee Mile weekend is end of August and into September. So this will be the first IndyCar event at the Mile since 2015. And they'll have some open testing tomorrow, so that'll get a lot of attention.
I've been to one of those races.
Is that right?
Yeah.
In the infield?
Yeah. Yeah. No. In the stands.
Okay. Just curious.
So loud. So I'm surprised I'm not hearing it in Franklin.
On Wednesday, the 30th anniversary of Nicole Brown Simpson and Ronald Goldman's murder took place. You can imagine there'll likely be some attention brought to that, as there usually is when we have these quote-unquote anniversaries. Tom Brady will be inducted into the Patriots Hall of Fame on Wednesday. Thursday, G7 will meet. The G7 includes the U.S., the Canada, Britain, France, Germany, Italy, and Japan. They're going to meet in Verona, Italy. To golf, the U.S. Open starts on Thursday. Friday is a big holiday. Flag Day.
Do I get off of work?
No. I don't think so. No one gets off on Flag Day, do they?
No.
Flag Day, Friday, June 14th. It's also the birthday of former President Donald Trump. He turns 78 on Friday. Also this weekend, Polish Fest. Now that's got to be, like, you're Polish, right? That's got to be your festival.
One of them, yeah.
Yeah?
Love Polish Fest.
Yeah, you always go and you wear out the outfits and drink the Polish beer and whatever else they do at Polish Fest.
Pierogies.
Pierogies,
no.
Thank you. And what are you planning for Father's Day? Father's Day is Sunday.
My husband's going golfing with other people.
That's just what he wanted, right?
Yep, get away from the family for a while.
Sounds good. Happy Father's Day early. It is Friday or Sunday, June 16th. That is the week ahead on Wisconsin's Morning News. .37 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Eric Bilstead along with Michelle Richards. Vince Vetrano is off. Although, can we expect to see him in the office one of these days? Generally, whenever he's off, he ends up showing up at work. So
to show off his lawn, maybe?
I don't know. Like, he just likes it. Well, he's still got to do stuff. Like, so he'll be on PTO, but he'll still be in the office. He, by the way, is anti-4-day work week. We'll get into that in a little bit. But first, one of the stories that you're going to hear about tonight and into tomorrow and moving forward is out of Wauwatosa. We've been talking so much about the Milwaukee Public School District and some of the situations that they're dealing with their finances. Wauwatosa has a unique situation taking place. That they have declining enrollment projections, and they're losing a share of state aid, so money is a problem there. So the superintendent told parents last week that he is going to propose tonight eliminating and closing the middle schools. So you would get rid of the 6th through 8th two schools that they have, and you would put the 6th graders back with the elementary schools. So that'd be what, K through 6?
Mm-hmm.
And then you'd have the 7th and 8th graders go to the high school. And they have two high schools with the 9 through 12.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So one of the things they did say, and this is going to take time, this wouldn't happen overnight. There'd have to be some referendum that they'd have to deal with too to build some of it. But they would say in this proposal that the 7th and 8th graders would remain physically separated from students in 9 through 12. Separate exit to ensure minimal intermingling of middle and high school students. Which I just
you mean, laugh at.
I don't know why that makes me. But okay, but you see, you think that's important. That's a big. You got to make sure that you keep the 17-year-olds away from the 12 or 13-year-olds.
Yeah, and you know, we see this in our own school district too. At our middle school, the 6th graders are kind of kept in their own separate area from the 7th and 8th graders, just to kind of ease their transition into the middle school. I think, and I mean, things change when you get into middle school. Kids' behavior, and you know, just gets a little. It's a little different from elementary school.
So when I was a kid, it was a K through 6. So you'd stay in the elementary school through 6th grade. But before I made it to 6th grade, they switched it. So then they made the middle school 6 through 8. But now it almost seems like they're going back to this idea of that K through 6 because of what you were saying, that 6th graders generally are still a touch young to be, you know, intermingling, if you will, with the 7th and 8th grade. So that could also be part of this. It's just another way of keeping the kids where they are more like everyone else. We're not having the weird growth spurts just quite yet, maybe. I don't know. Anyway, that's going to take place tonight. They're going to discuss this with the TOSA school board. It's not a done deal, and it wouldn't happen overnight, like I said, but something that is being considered in Wauwatosa. And the reason being is that they feel it's more important to keep all the elementary schools versus the 2 middle schools, because what, there's like 9 at least, if not more, elementary schools across TOSA. You can walk to them, and they felt that that was more important to have a variety of elementary schools rather than shut a couple of those down and keep the middle schools.
Well, and just in sheer numbers too. I mean, having that many elementary schools, which ones do you close?
Right, yeah,
you
right,
know,
right.
2 middle schools seems just like an easier solution, perhaps.
Very interesting to see how this plays out. Again, happening tonight in Wauwatosa. It's 8:41. On Wisconsin's Morning News. So it appears this is going to happen. It's not just being floated and it's kind of a niche thing. It appears that more and more companies are actually going to do this, push to make 4-day work weeks a reality.
Where do I sign up?
Right. A Market Watch has a story. Reporter Andrew Kessner.
We're not mainstream yet on this by any means, but we're not in far-fetched fantasy land either of a 4-day work week. This thing, it's on the margins, but it is like creeping seriously to the mainstream, and there are very powerful people who are giving this thing some serious thought.
Very powerful people. So who would those powerful people be? Well, CEOs for one. 3 in 10 CEOs are exploring the idea of a 4-day or 4.5-day work week, according to KPMG. They did a survey on it. So there are reasons for this. The main one is retaining quality talent. We talk all the time about how businesses are trying to consider other ways to keep their best people. And this is clearly one way to do that. Others are, you know, like extended or unlimited PTO. Mm-hmm. So there's different ways you can do it. Working from home is a perk that has been offered often. So like this is just another way to do that. There's discussion about which one is more likely, the 10 hours for 4 days or just 32 hours total and just losing that eight hours. So you're working actually less and making the same amount of money. I think it depends on each case, you know, separately, each business separately. But boy, yeah, I'm with you. Why not? If this is something that more and more people want, start making that demand.
Well, and then, you know, if you think about it, you only have 32 hours to get your stuff done. So are you going to schedule that meeting that you might not need? Probably not.
I do wonder, though, like some of this doesn't seem all that new to me. When I was a kid, my dad worked at Baxter a long, long time ago when I was a kid. So like 40 years ago, and he would get Friday afternoons off in the summer. So when it got to be June and we were out of school, he'd be home, you know, by early afternoon, which was not normal. But that was 40 years ago. So the idea of like a 4.5 day work week is not unheard of.
Well, and I think a lot of people do it anyway, regardless of whether they have a half day on a Friday or not.
No, see, you're absolutely right. How many, you can't tell me that you have offices here downtown that are just to the brim on a Friday afternoon. It's 4 o'clock and it's just, you know, bustling. There's papers, copy machines going, people all over working the phones. No. They're working from home or they're not working already. Like, we're already kind of there. But if that's the case, if we're already kind of there, it would make sense for a company to just say, okay, let's just pull off the Band-Aid, and it makes you look good, doesn't it? Like, as a small business, makes you look good if you just tell from the get-go, hey, you're done at noon on Friday.
Or don't come in on Friday.
Right. So would you rather have 40 hours of pay working from home or 32 hours of pay 4 days a week?
Not from home?
Not from home.
Oh, that'll be tough. That's a tough call. We have a lot of activities. Like, the kids have these daytime activities. Like, I can't even imagine having a job where I have to be in the office all the time.
That's right, because you're not in the office. I forgot about that.
I'm not, no.
So, yeah, Michelle's other world, she works from home. Man. And that's productive, though. I mean, it works for people.
Yeah. Happy people, they stay, right?
It's a win for productivity as well, says a CEO. Despite those who doubt how much work can fit into 4 days, employee churn is the most expensive productivity loss there is. The fact that we don't have to retrain employees is a big deal, said one CEO. So the fact that you're keeping the same people, and the fact that you're keeping people who are good at what they do, and boy, like you said earlier, who's going to leave a 4 day a week job for a 5 day a week job?
No, not happening.
But you take a pay cut? See, that's the tough part.
No, that's tough. Yeah.
I don't think you'd have to, though. I think the way this is being offered is that you would, we want the best quality talent we can get. So, we'll pay you this much and you can work 4 days.
Well, and it's so smart, too, because work-life balance is so important. And you want people to be happy, and life is short. You don't want to spend all of your hours working.
It is funny you say that, though, because it's amazing how many people push against this. Like, it's something, a lot of people don't like the idea of it for whatever reason. It's like immediate pushback. Here's one from I just put this up from the 414. I'm against a 4 day work week because that would likely mean that each working day would become longer. You know, it'd give me less time to exercise, grocery shop, or do any other chores after work or errands. I could also see this being difficult for parents. I don't know. I think we should give it a shot.
Hey, it's worth trying.
Yeah, right? I mean, come on.
WTMJ, W277CV, and WKTI HD2 Milwaukee. From the Annex Wealth Management Studios, this is News Radio WTMJ, a Good Karma brand station.
Your forecast, sponsored by Dave Drake Camp Heating. Sunny today, a high of 65. Tonight, clear, a low of 52. Tuesday, the high is 72. There is a slight chance for showers tomorrow. Wednesday, sunny and warmer, a high of 80. Thursday, a high of 85. It's going to be humid on Thursday and a chance for storms. Right now, 57 degrees at 8:54.
Eric, if you could have some sort of technology that would tell you exactly what your dog is saying when he barks, what do you think about that?
I would be intrigued. I have a question, but I'll let you continue.
So, a professor at the University of Texas is using a computer program to translate dog sounds into words, and apparently it's working, according to him. He's been able to transcribe 10 hours worth of barks into meaning, and he tells us he hopes the research will just be a starting point for different species to understand each other. This is Kenny Zhu.
It boils down to, facilitate better communication, better understanding between different species, and ultimately, we just want to have a better world.
So I was interested in finding out, like, what words has he found?
Yes.
And I cannot find that information, but if I had to check, or if I had to guess, rather, it would be, I'm hungry. I want you to pet me. I need to go to the bathroom. Like, what else do you think your dog is saying?
I think most dog owners already know those sounds, right? They know when their dog is saying those things. I firmly believe that there's only one word that dogs say. Just one.
Okay.
Hey. hey, 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 hey. Sometimes it's hey, hey. Sometimes it's hey, hey, hey. Sometimes it's hey. But all the dogs, all they say is hey, and this guy just cracked the code. So now we know what dogs say. It's hey.
And this guy has 480.
Hey, 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 you. Sorry, go ahead.
Hundreds of thousands of dollars in funding for this project, but you cracked the code, Eric.
See it, man. Where's my grant?
He's fired.
8:56. She's Michelle Richards. I'm Eric Bilstead. Vince Petrano taking a couple of days off. Thanks to Greg Pancake Hill for helping us out today. The news is next. Then we have the Political Power Hour at Steve Scafidi.